If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today.
This is Jordan,
Jake,
and David.
And we're Them Evils.
And you're listening to Cobras and Fire.
Rock's not dead.
It's hiding.
And you found it.
You're tuned to the Cobras and Fire Podcast Network. Good job.
Life's the same. I'm moving in stereo. Life's the same, except for my shoes.
Why you had to hide away for so long? Why did we go wrong?
Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why
you had to hide away for so long. Why did we go wrong?
Mr. Blue Sky,
please tell us why.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and man, am I glad you took a second to tune in, because we have got a lot of fun stuff going on today. I have a chat with some guys out of California. They're called Them Evils. We talk about Kanye West, the weather in Minnesota, and we might get around to actually talking about their band, too. In addition to that, I am joined by Josh Toomey, the host of the Talk To Me podcast, and we share our thoughts on this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. Of course, we don't want to let any of them in, because fuck that, right? But before we get into that, why don't we check out a track from this band, Them Evils? This is the first song off their current EP. It's called Untold.
I've got a shotgun
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco. Luz Cannon is still on sabbatical. So today we have a special guest from Talk To Me. Of course, Joshua Toomey. Toomey, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, Baco. How are you out there?
Oh, you know, it's nice and warm here for Minnesota in December anyway, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, we got to thank Al Gore and all that global warming for all that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thanks, Al.
And the internet.
Hey, yeah. 2 points.
Nice.
Oh, man. So how are things been going over on Talk To Me? You've been busy as hell. Who won't you interview?
Man, I don't know. Like, it's funny. I just had Chris Aiken of the Classic Metal Show on. So far, so good.
You know, Looking forward to that episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. That guy can talk. Yeah. Give him a subject, and he'll talk your head off. It was a podcaster's dream to have him on. And then last week,
and opinions on the too. He's got a lot of them. Some of them I agree, some don't. But he keeps it moving.
That's what you have to have.
Of course,
I can tell my fan base or my listenership, not necessarily fan base, but I can tell my listenership did not care too much for the ex-member of the Cottonmouth Kings that I had on, judging by the download numbers. But yeah, lately, man, it's been a lot of good episodes.
Today, why don't we? I'll share what we're going to talk about. Of course, we're close to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction nominees, like the actual finalists, the people that will get in to be announced. Hopefully, this episode goes up before that. Which I think it will. They pushed back voting 2 weeks because something was goofy with the online glitches or something. But have you had a chance to look over the nominees for this year?
Yeah, I've looked over the list, and the one thing with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is it's such a hard, you know, it's got rock and roll in the title, but it's not necessarily an actual just guitars and drums and bass kind of Hall of Fame. So
how do you feel about that? What do you think it should be? I mean, you okay with how they do it, or you think they should dial it back, kick a few people out?
Well, I like that they honor the heritage and they go back, and you know, every once in a while they'll get in those like 40s, 50s, 60s guys that you may or may not have ever heard of, mm-hmm. but may or may not have had a stamp on music going forward and creating the rock and roll that we know as today. But then, you know, now they've got, you know, artists coming in like NWA and stuff like that. But, you know, you listen to, I believe it was Ice Cube and his speech about it, you know, he was like, you know, NWA was rock and roll when they, you know, the spirit of rock and roll was there. So it's hard to define what they want. You know, there's a spirit of rock and roll, which I understand, but mm-hmm. there's also like a what I consider rock and roll is another thing too, which is, you know, guitars, bass, drums, and singing. But, you know, now we're for the next how many ever years, we're just going to be in a crazy place that's going to have laptops and all kinds of stuff going into it. So I think they've opened the floodgates, letting a band like or a group like NWA in.
Yeah, I mean, and they weren't even the first rap group. Sugarland Gang or what? Sugar Hill Gang. Yeah, they sample all their music from rock bands. So I guess that's one way to, right. to look at it. Yeah, you know, I'm a little torn. I mean, the toothpaste out of the tube, you can't really go back. If you're going to let rap in, I guess I'm okay with NWA getting in. You know, I'm definitely not knowledgeable enough about it to say they don't belong or do belong. But it seems to me it's a lot like a rap Hall of Fame would never include all these people. And it seems like the one thing about rock music in general is that every genre of music always goes to it for the things it wants to steal to sound fresh. I mean, you got, what's that fucking country jackass, Eric Church, using the metal horns? I mean, you don't see fucking, you know, people who want to be rock stars or metalheads, like, trying to, like, soften it up and be more country to be cool. You know, it's like, if you want to be a fucking rock star, be in a rock band, you know? If you want to be a rap star, rap. I don't understand why you can't separate these things, why they have to all be included in my world, especially, you know, growing up, it wasn't exactly the most accepted group of people on the planet. And now you got Taylor Swift or fucking dipshits like Kim Kardashian walking around in crocus t-shirts, you know? It's like...
Absolutely. And the one thing... Growing up too, you know, I grew up listening to Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, all the heavy metal, and growing up in that thrash metal phase. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a lot of those bands, you know, Metallica not included in that, but I mean, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for a lot of those bands is probably not in the cards either. And so as a kid, you know, growing up, I didn't really care too much if Tom Petty was going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was just, you know, as I'm sure fans of NWA could have cared less if NWA ever got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, so it's technically, you know, maybe not even for my music either. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of a weird place.
But I think you can draw a straighter line between, say, I don't know, Elton John and Metallica than you can between even either of those artists, Metallica or Elton John, and rap music, you know. But we're going to, for the sake of today, we're just going to, it's all in there. If they've been nominated, they fit the criteria. We don't need to solve that, I guess.
Right.
All right. Well, let's run down it. I'll kick most of these to you, and I'll share my thoughts. What do you think about Bad Brains? In a quest for the test, it's a villain and team, and everybody's always on it to see yourself. But I'm not just on there. Never stand out and empty anyone else. Tell me why this is after the line, trying to make me up confused about the USA. When the fact in my mind, this is just on here to comprehend and understand a single word. I say, mother, what am I gonna get tired? See, that's one of those. That's a band that I think should be in, you know, no questions asked. But being in that it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, they're kind of a standout band that I don't know if they would ever actually make it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I think they will. In all honesty, I think they will maybe eventually. And I think it's amazing that a band like that has been nominated. Well, I'm with you. I'm rooting for them. So it's kind of a two-part thing. One, it doesn't sound like you think they will get in, and two, it thinks you think they should, right?
I think they should. I just don't think they will. I think that they're a band that obviously tons and tons of bands that came out after them wanted to be the Bad Brains, and they're one of those bands that so many people look up to, but they're not necessarily a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band to
me.
Like,
there's so many different levels of criteria that I do blanketly accept. I mean, there's just flat out success, there's influence, and then there's, you know, originality as far as like how you changed something. And they're clearly not going to get in there because of all the platinum records they got or their years of, you know, as a band, but they're definitely getting in. I mean, I think they belong for both their creativity and their influence.
Absolutely. And I'm rooting for them. And, you know, if they get in, I have no issue with that. I just don't think that the voters will vote them in.
Shaka Khan.
No.
Yeah, me either. We don't need to get into that one too much, right?
Well, just for the fact that I can only think of the Chaka, 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 Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Yeah.
I think that's all I can think of.
And it's a fucking Prince tune.
Right.
All right. Well, this next one, I do have a bit of a pecking point with, but I'm going to let you lead because you are the guest. Is it Chic or Chic? I think it's Chic.
Chic.
Yeah.
Chic. Once again, I would say no, and I think that haven't they been on the ballot like a ton of times, and
there
they just
go.
Keep trying to make this one happen. You know, I think that. It's Nile Rodgers is in this band, correct?
Yeah.
See, I think that he should get in. I think he's been influential enough on the production side and the musicianship side, but not necessarily as Chic.
I'd go with that too. Pull him out and put him in solo because he's worked with so many people, that not just as a producer but as a songwriter, and he's had a lot of influence there. Now it's more of a behind the scenes influence, but he's had success and he's had influence. But Chic, other than being one of the most sampled bands, I can't name one of their fucking songs. I'm sure I've heard it, but the 11 fucking nominations. Take the hint, okay? This is it. If you don't get in this time, just it's time to move on from the Chic. All right, Depeche Mode. Reach out, touch faith.
you know, once again, highly influential. You know, I think that
were they?
You know, I mean, if you
they
take
were kind of on the front end of electronica, but they weren't at the beginning. And it's almost like they were fashionable more than they were really, you know, popular or influential. I mean, I don't hate them, but maybe the heroin Hall of Fame would be more.
Well, if you take, like, I mean, looking at this so far, if you take the Bad Brains, add some Depeche Mode, you get the Deftones. You know, you get something like that. So it's, I know that their influence is out there. So it's hard to deny.
Okay.
But I don't think Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for them at all. But I think that they're have their influence. And plus, you're in that weird period of the 80s. Where once again, you know, when we're talking about guitars, drums, bass, you know, this is the age of the, you know, electronic mm-hmm. pop band. So you're getting a lot of that too. So it's a very a muddy criteria there.
Do you think they'll get in?
No.
Me either.
I'm not going to be, you know, Eddie Trunken Kiss, you know, going on rants on the Talk to Me podcast, which I host, and continue to, you know. State my case for Depeche Mode every week, but no. So yeah, if they get in,
I'm
cool.
going
if
to
not,
from now on.
You know.
That's it. My goal is to get them in. I have kind of given up like caring that much ever since Kiss got in. That was like the last one. And I was like, it was like, now whatever. ELO. Hard to believe this is their first nomination.
I was actually about to say this is one of those, like, you can't believe that they're not already in.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that this was their first nomination. That's crazy too. So I'm gonna go on a limb and say yes, they should be in, because if you know my criteria for rock and roll, ELO fits all those categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have classic songs, you know, I think the ELO should be in. I can't believe that they're not already in. So, you know, maybe it's a down year and they get in. You don't know. So.
You know what? I'm going to go with you on that. I was going to say no, they won't get in. But you're right. This is a pretty weak class if they're going to get, you know, they're the, I mean, the only trepidation is that, like, you know, it's almost like the Baseball Hall of Fame and like a first year snub or something like that. So, like,
right.
But they've been eligible for since 86, it says here. So.
No, I was just going to say, so ELO, we both say yes.
Yeah, and we're actually both predicting yes.
Okay.
So I'll try to keep score. All right, the Jay Giles Band.
Take this one, because
I'm gonna go no. I know they've been around forever, and I'm probably not giving them some credit they deserve, but it doesn't seem like they really hit on any of it. They didn't
They had a couple hits, but they didn't have any like real long. They had one record that was gigantic, Freeze Frame, I think it was called. I don't know. The singer went solo shortly after that, and they didn't really seem to have the long term success. I don't know of any legitimate influence with them, and that's probably going to upset my spiritual guide, Rob Kern. and they just weren't that creative or unique.
Yeah, this is the one that I didn't realize that they sang a certain song until like the other day, until like, you know, putting two and two together. Like I'd heard the Jay Giles Band. I can't even tell you right off the top of my head, but
Centerfold?
It was like, no, not Centerfold. It was something else. But it was just like, oh, okay. What was that?
Love Stinks.
I don't know. Did they sing both of those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Well, then hell yeah, they should be in. No, I was kidding. But no.
And of course, Freeze Frame.
No, I think maybe it's just one of those things where when you say Jay Giles Band, it doesn't really ring a bell and it doesn't hit that. I think a lot of these you can just like read the name and go yes no yes no yes no, mm-hmm. And this is one that just doesn't jump out to me. as a yes, so I'm gonna say no on the Jay Giles Band.
All right, which brings us to which might be a dividing rod here, Jane's Addiction.
Juana's Addiction.
Juana's Addiction. Man, this is one where, to me, you know, this puts me where I am in my, you know, I'm in my late 30s, so, you know, Jane's Addiction was one of those bands that kind of popped up in the mm-hmm. grunge era that I was never huge into the whole grunge era, but I love Jane's Addiction. But it's also hard for me to believe that they would ever be up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I know that, you know, Perry Farrell's done a lot of great stuff for music, Lollapalooza, you know, you can't, that's, how many festivals over the years have been called, you know, Baco-palooza and, mm-hmm. you know, Toomey-palooza and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously you're not going to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for coming up with a term like palooza, but
it was a treat that you got at a restaurant called Bridgman's, and if you ate the whole thing, they gave you a medal.
Oh, nice. Well, look at that. That's why we come to the Cobras and Fire podcast for mm-hmm. all of our.
And that was decades before Lollapalooza, the festival. But we'll carry on.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, the first few, you know, Jane's Addiction albums are, I can throw those on at any time and listen to them. You know, one of my favorite bands from that era. But I, you know, it's just hard for me to say that they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, it was hard for me to say. Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's just hard for me to say that a band like Jane's Addiction would make it in. That's like me saying that Mudhoney is going to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, that's how crazy that sounds to me.
Okay, I don't think they belong in, but I don't know that I fairly take into account people like yourself that actually kind of look to them and can listen to those records. I tried. I really did. I became a bit of a Jane's Addiction fan for a while. But at a certain point, I started to realize this is more fashionable than it is good. it just seemed to be kind of a cool band to like. I did write a note about the Lollapalooza tour because I think that was hugely influential. There really weren't festivals in the United States at the time, and to see the way it is now, where they're fucking everywhere, and we're almost like Europe now, where we have like a fairly good stronghold on places to go, pay a lot of money, and buy $9 slices of pizza and $8 cups of beer and enjoy some good music, you know. And it wasn't that way when they started, so that kind of matters to me a little bit, but just. Them musically, for me, my taste, and maybe it's just a bias, but I just say no, no, and no. You know what? I actually think they might get in this year. I'm sorry. I didn't really say that very good because I said no and no, but no. I think this is one band I think is going to get in this year.
And actually, talking about this band actually made me think of a snub. I'm going to write this one down so I don't forget it.
Oh, but, yeah. All right. Yeah, stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We got snubs coming up. All right, let's move on to Janet Jackson.
I'm going to say a no on Janet Jackson.
Me too.
you know, if you let Janet Jackson in, you got to let like Paula Abdul in. So that's where I see that one.
Good enough. So it's, who knows? Joan Baez, I couldn't believe she wasn't already really in. And actually, the bigger thing is that, and I don't know anything about her other than I've heard her name my entire life. You know, she just seemed like one of those people that were pretty much put in when they opened the damn thing. right. This is her first nomination, so maybe she sucks.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you a song she sings. I have no idea. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, me too, fucker. Yeah. If you couldn't get in by now, you don't belong in. Get behind Chic. This guy Joe Tex, have you ever heard of him?
No, and please tell me he is just a diamond in the rough or something, because that's the one name on this list that I never heard of my life. But
I did a Wikipedia search on him. I can only tell you that I want him in for one reason, is that he's got a song called Ain't Gonna Bump No More with No Big Fat Woman.
Oh, yeah, he's in.
Yeah, so that's two yeses.
And please edit that in right about here. Man, she did a dip. Almost broke my hip. She was getting down. That chick was getting down. She wanted to bump some more. But I told her no. You don't knock me down once. You don't knock me down once. Said if you want to dance, find you a big fat man. Y'all go and get on down. Y'all go and get on down. Ha! I ain't gonna bump no more with no big fat boy.
All right, Journey.
This is another one that's like, how is this band not already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Like, if that's every criteria to me is checked on Journey. Like, you know, and every, I don't care how silly you think Steve Perry and Journey are. I mean, you know, these are the songs that you sing at the bar at 3 a.m. when you're shit-faced drunk, you know?
This is where I get a bit elitist. I like Journey, and I don't think anybody should apologize for wanting to spend money on their records or their concerts, but I arena rock in general. So for me, this automatically wipes them, Styx, Foreigner, REO Speedwagon out. There's just a lack of depth to anything they do. They're just good. You know what I mean? But they're not really driven by anything. They really didn't influence anything other than how big of a arena you can play. No. I mean, Bon Jovi's the closest to those bands that I would probably make an argument to put in. And even I think they're on the fence, but fuck, I don't know.
I don't see how you can see Journey not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, when you're talking about just some of the great Don't Stop Believing, all those great songs, just, you know.
I could actually fairly convincingly make an argument, whether you believe it or not, but I could make a solid argument that they are a one-hit band at this point. Now, we both know they've got probably, 15 top 10 hits? And if you go to people who are fans of Journey, they know more than that, and they get deep. But really, I mean, frankly, their success came when they sold out. You know, I mean, it's almost like, you know, like a band like Metallica gets called a sellout because they grow. These guys change to have a career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't go back to the early Journey records, pre-Steve Perry, mm-hmm. you know, where they're the prog rock band with no vocalist and all that stuff. So they did sell out. They did, you know, find the singer and start writing, you know,
amazing
pop rock
singer,
songs,
by the way. One of the top 10 singers. But there's all this, again, goes kind of what we talked about at the beginning. There are different Hall of Fames you can have. There is a singer or there's a songwriter Hall of Fame. And if they're not in that, that's a fucking crime. But to me, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they just...
Yeah, this is one of those that, you know, if Journey doesn't get in, ELO gets in. I say that either Journey or ELO gets in, but not both. How about that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think ELO gets in. Journey might eventually knock it down, but I don't think this year. Kraftwerk, what do you think of that?
I know how influential they are. And this one, this is one of those that kind of come out of left field, too. that aren't, you know, this doesn't necessarily fall under the drums, bass, guitar category, but I know that, you know, they basically influenced an entire genre of music, you know,
Depeche
being the all that stuff that moved into, you know, Ministry and all the metal bands too.
Mm,
that,
yeah,
you know, always
point.
all go back to Kraftwerk. So, you know, this definitely gets the, you know, inspiration check mark. I don't know, obviously weren't hugely successful or you know, all that stuff, but I mean, I think Kraftwerk is another one of those bands that if they get in, I definitely wouldn't bat an eye at it, and I think that they definitely get in on the influential side.
I think they're going in. I really do.
Wow. That's about the most stern you've been about any of these so far.
For sure. Yeah, for whatever, I just got a feeling on them. So, and as I do the next band, I don't know much about them, but I just got a feeling they're going in, and that's MC5.
Get off the jams, motherfucker! Yes!
Yeah, another one of those bands that, to me, you know, kick out the jams. I mean, how, you know, that song alone should be, you know, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But but another one of those bands, too, that, you know, if you would have told me that the MC5 were already in, you know, I'd be like, yeah, they're already in.
Actually,
that sounds right.
I was a little surprised that they weren't.
So, a yes for me on the MC5.
All right. Pearl Jam.
I admit it.
Oh man, this is one of mine that I think that, yes, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that they were, along with the Nirvanas of the world, I think those two bands, you know, if Nirvana's in, Pearl Jam should be in.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, this is where my age might come into play a little bit too, but, you know, I was 11 or 12, you know, watching MTV when Jeremy and Alive and all that stuff was coming up. And
Even Flow.
What's that?
I just said Even Flow.
Oh yeah, Even Flow. All those, you know, the songs off of 10, and the first two Pearl Jam albums. I was one of the kids that bought 10. I don't think I got into Vitality. Was it Vitology? I almost said Vitology, like Dick Vitale, but Vitology. Yeah, I don't think I got into Vitology as much as some of my other friends. But as for you know, success, influence, and you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, game changer, I think that they should be in.
I'm with you. I think it's I think it might even be a slam dunk. So I think they're gonna get in too. Okay, good enough. Steppenwolf.
I like smoking lightning, heavy metal thunder, racing with the wind.
This is my the band on here that kind of baffles me. You know, you've got a couple of great songs, Magic Carpet Ride, and what is it, Born to Be Wild? Yep. You know, a couple of staples of music, but they're kind of what I think what you were saying about Journey, where I think they're kind of a one hit wonder mm-hmm. band. You know, they get credit for saying heavy metal thunder. You know, like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where they do like the five main people, and then they put in like the Veterans Committee might put in like a old dude okay. that you never heard of. You know, like a old safety from the you know the Acme Packers. You know, like something like that. But you know, I could see them maybe getting in on like a Veterans Committee, but I don't see them just getting
we're,
in.
We're saving that vote for Joe Tex, man.
You're right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That too. I'm saying, like, you know, Joe Tex is the Veterans Committee now. Steppenwolf
okay,
is like
next year, later
Steppenwolf after. Gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in like, you know, 2052.
But you know, I think too many people can relate to exposure to their music through commercials, and they are too. Look, I know they have more songs, and people can call me on my cell phone and tell me about Pusher Man. This is a fucking two song band that fell apart and fought and yelled at each other. They had like one or two albums. Here's two people that had much more success and almost as a parallel to show you, Billy Squire and Eddie Money later in the 70s would destroy these guys as far as like, you know, continued success, long careers, a bunch of hits spread over time. And I don't think anybody's rushing to put either one of those guys in. And I would put these Steppenwolf behind them. And if you gave me time, I could dig deeper. But those are the two that came to the top of my head. So we're both going no. I don't even think there's a chance they get in. Do you?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, we'll see. All right, the Cars.
Yes on the Cars. I think that they're another one of those bands that we kind of talk about in the 80s. They had a you know, very influential band.
They're almost like rat of pop music. They're kind of forgotten now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I think
they're to pull the Police what Rat is to Motley Crue.
Wow, that you're hurting my head, Baco.
As far as how the popularity, like we all remember the Police. We all remember.
You did not say that there was going to be any math in this.
Oh, gotcha. All right, fair enough. I thought you were going somewhere else. Carry on.
No, the Cars, I think, you know, when you go back and listen to the Cars, and I think if you break them down, you know, Rick Ocasek can write the hell out of a song, out of a catchy little tune, mm-hmm. and, you know, his influence is probably still heard today. Like, if you go back and listen to the Cars, they actually still sound pretty current, which is kind of odd. Yeah. And sometimes when they come on the radio, you're like, oh wow, the Cars. Like, you know, but yeah, you do kind of forget about them. And I think that they're kind of one of the bands that maybe could benefit from being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And they were huge.
You know, rock and roll Hall of Famers, the Cars. You know, because I'm, you know, you and I were in music around the same time. And you know, when he produced that first Weezer album,
yeah, that's right.
You know, like that was such an amazing album and one of my favorite albums of all time. So I mean, you've got that side of it too, where he's, you know, his production, and then also the Cars are so good. And then, you know, there was a time where, you know, you wanted Rick Ocasek to be a part of your production team. So
I you made basically my case for me, and I'm gonna say I think they get into. In case anybody's wondering, we have no influence on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet.
Not yet. Yet. Yeah.
There's going to be a podcast wing in 10 years, and we'll be in charge of that.
Right. Well, there'll be a podcast wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we'll be there for Chris Sinzak when he's given his acceptance speech.
Yes, and we'll be his rat. Right. Way to go, someone, Chris, yeah. Asshole. All right, the zombies. Do you know anything about these guys?
This is one that I, you know, if it was the White Zombies, I would say yes, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But the Zombies, man, I know that it's one of those. I'm going to lose all my street cred from not knowing their hit, but I know that they've had
time
some
of
hits
the season,
and I know that,
or she's okay. Not there.
All right, so I always remember if I remember correctly, this was one of those bands where the band name didn't live up to the band.
Well, it was the '60s, so. And I don't think people zombies came from Haiti back then.
Wow, this is like a history lesson. History with Baco. I like it. It's one of those. It's another one of those that kind of would fall into the category of if they were already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know enough about them to say yay or nay.
Well, a member of the band was Rod Argent, and he went on to form a band, Argent, who had a God, what the fuck was it? See, now you got me thinking. But maybe him, because he kind of had a long career dicking around in music. But honestly, this is a one hit wonder kind of band. It'd be like putting in Belinda Carlisle, but not the Go Go's.
Right.
Anyway,
nice.
Tupac Shakur.
Yeah.
Bought a little liquor for your homies, nigga.
I'm not saying
this
that.
This one here to my nigga Mike Cruz. Sitting in the family for this. How you come on, man? I started young, kicking dust, man. Living rough, you watch your mouth around my mama, you couldn't cuss, man. I had a down ass Romeo. We had the streets and on the scene at the age of 14. Oh, I packed a 9 in my nigga back to 45. We're drinking Jordan's little shorts, living dirty lives. You couldn't stop us, my hands like on my mark. Fuck the coppers, hanging on the box, slanging rocks and everybody rocks. I couldn't fuck with the school life, I was a fool.
This was kind of what I was talking about earlier. I mean, if you've let NWA in, you have to let Tupac in. Like,
agreed.
I think the Tupac, you know, just for that style, for the, you know, what he did with Death Row and what he did, even Digital Underground and
yeah, before
all
Death
that
Row
stuff.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, this is one of those where, you know, I'm not a huge Tupac fan. I could not rap along with Tupac unless it was California Love, but even that, man, what he does on the song California Love is he was a very impressive rapper, and you know, sound as white as possible by saying that, but yeah, the stuff that he could do, very very intelligent rapping. And
you remember when he had a ball shot off in Philadelphia somewhere, one of his testicles, and he tried to get out of the hospital because he thought they were going to kill him?
No, I never heard that story.
Yeah. So, that's as deep as I can get into it. Yeah, so he died with one nut. maybe he lost both. I don't remember the whole story. And so we both are cool. I think he's getting in, too, by the way.
Yeah, I think he'll get in. I think if it just comes back to the, you know, what did you say earlier, the toothpaste out of the tube kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think you let, you know, NWA in, you've got to let Tupac in.
Definitely.
I think that he's... He's as good, if not, I could almost say I enjoy Tupac stuff more than I did NWA stuff. So,
all right. So last band on the nominees is Yes.
Another one of those that, it, you know, how are they not already in?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, and this is not my wheelhouse at all. Like, I worked with a guy that would talk to me about Yes all the time. And it was like his favorite band
ever. That sounds horrible.
So, I mean, I know how much they mean to at least one person.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, for the respect value and all that stuff, I think they should be in. But, you know, once again, not in my wheelhouse enough to, you know, go on to a nationally renowned podcast and give my opinion of yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're getting in, but I think just fucking put them in. Just do the thing that's what they did with Kiss. It's just like, just fucking go in. Just don't bring it up anymore.
Right.
All right. So now we're on to the final act. We are each going to pick three bands that, if we were running the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, would be in today. And I'm going to let you have the first pick.
All right. I'll go with who I wrote down as we were talking. When we were talking about Jane's Addiction, the one band that stood out to me as influential, wrote great songs, and, you know, just influenced an entire generation of artists, and I think that's going to be Faith No More. I think Faith No More is one of those bands that's, you know, I don't. Are we going with eligibility, or are they eligible?
No, we're saying we're in charge. Fuck it.
Okay.
And they have to be at this point, right? I mean, it's 89.
Yeah. So, you know, Faith No More to me is a band that's, you know, influential, you know, successful, and, you know, guitars, bass, drums, and, you know, like it or not, they influence an entire generation of new metal kids. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, but they also just, you know,
like
they
it
wrote
or not.
Some great songs. Yeah. You know, Angel Dust from beginning to end is a great album. The Real Thing's a great album. I'm a huge fan of King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime. You know,
I thought their new record was pretty good.
A lot of great stuff. Yeah. A lot of great stuff, man. So you can't, to me, Faith No More has to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right, so off to me. We talked about this. It's not going to surprise you, but I'm going to pick the Misfits. I've heard them comment, like, does Kiss really need to get in because they already got Alice Cooper, and with Metallica in, they kind of got thrash covered. Why you don't do that with other, the more, you know, bland genres? Why is it with these kind of the ones that you can pigeonhole and hate from a distance that it's good enough to have one? It's like a country club allowing one black person to join and then saying, see, we're not racist. And I'm sorry, the Sex Pistols are the fuck to punk music what a boy band is. You know what I mean? They were manufactured. They were slapped together. They weren't really a band, and they didn't last. And I actually like their record, Never Mind the Bollocks. I know there's some other recordings drifting around out there. But there's a handful that I was picking from, because I think you could also talk, like Jodie Foster's Army, Dead Kennedys, stuff like that from this era, Black Flag. You know, even Suicidal kind of was very... But they should almost go in for their influence on crossover, but... I went with the Misfits just because they're probably my favorite. But you know, I almost thought about separating Danzig out, but no, this is his pinnacle of contribution to rock music. I think
if you're gonna go Misfits, I don't think you can take Danzig standalone. Danzig would ever get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I think you can maybe lump Danzig's career in with the Misfits.
That's
and
what
get
I meant.
Him in that way.
Yeah, I think put just him in, but. Because the Misfits had, he was the creative force behind the Misfits, no doubt. But, he also, Sam Hain was very, different. Like, he just shifted gears. And for the, from Misfits to Sam Hain to Danzig, he seemed to be at the front of whatever he was doing. Not so much after that, but, I decided that the Misfits were, at the core, his best contribution, and just put the whole band in. And put them all in. Fuck it. Just if you were in the... I know they've had a lot of different drummers and guitar players, but just get everybody in there and fucking, play some fucking 1.5 minute songs.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a huge Misfits fan. And when you said this to me earlier, I was like, wow, that's definitely a band that you would never think that would be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I think that their contribution to so many genres, to punk, to metal, to emo, to screamo, to all these like different genres. I mean, if it wasn't
the DIY thing, I mean, they were, I don't know if they were the first, but just how much that ended up affecting startup bands of any type of rock.
Yeah, and then not to be too image conscious, but I mean that the Misfits logo is, absolutely. How many people have ripped that off? And then another thing too. I mean, getting into the music of the Misfits, when you hear a band cover a Misfits song, and they do it with awesome production, and you can actually hear like everything going on that the songs that were the way they were written, maybe not how they were performed, but there's so many catchy songs, and it's crazy that they're. Minute and a half songs, but they've lasted this long. And I got to see the Misfits at Riot Fest a few months ago, and I almost shed a tear. They played like 30 songs in their set. It was insane. Yeah, 30 songs, 30 minutes, and get out.
Well, back to you, my friend. What does Talk To Me want to dump into the Hall of Fame next?
I'm going to go with, actually, you mentioned this guy earlier, but this was going to be my dark horse I wasn't going to tell you about, but I think the Bon Jovi. I think John Bon Jovi should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling, you give love a bad night.
When you're, when you're just, like, kind of feeling a little sluggish, what Bon Jovi tune do you put on to, your mood around?
Oh, Bad Medicine. Anything off New Jersey, Slippery When Wet. You can't go wrong. But
the correct answer was You Give Love a Bad Name.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Oh.
Thanks for playing. Now carry on. Bon Jovi.
Because this to me, and this was another one of those, I can't believe they haven't even been nominated. When I first heard that Bon Jovi was never been nominated, not even on the list of bands trying to get in, I think that they, for as arena hair metal that he was, I think that they, I think that he wrote some amazing songs. I think that, going through the late 80s, early 90s, you couldn't have had a bigger metal band. And I'll give you a quick story. And I think this is very, I'll never forget this. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and we drove past a hair salon, and it said Bon Jovi hairdos, $40. on their sign out front, and I was like, wow, that's when you know you've made it, when the hair salon has Bon Jovi hairstyles, $40. But yeah, I think that, you know, his contribution to music, I think his contribution to
arena football,
I think that his contribution to when he owns the Tennessee Titans, I think is going to be great.
It wasn't easy being Bon Jovi in the 90s, and they did okay, you know what I mean? And then they kind of rebounded late in the 90s, early 2000s. And
yes, and John Bon Jovi is an American treasure.
I waffled on my next pick a little bit. While we were talking, I decided to stick to my backyard a little bit and give some love to The Replacements. Alternative music, mainly, is undeniable. And it, again, more of an influence thing than a success. They're also one of the most interesting bands of all time. Their book, The Trouble Boys, that came out earlier this year, is one of the best rock biographies I've ever written. Or written, yeah, that I ever wrote. Sorry, Bill. I can't remember the author's name, sorry. That I ever read. I burned through the thing, you know, very quick, but just a great band, a lot of really good songs, and a ton of great stories. So they're my pick. Any thoughts on The Replacements?
I have zero thoughts on The Replacements.
All right, well, before we kick it back to you then, since you have nothing to say about The Replacements, I wanted to give you the last pick, so I'm just going to give you mine real quick. And since the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has made a very specific point about having only one band from genres they hate representing, Motley Crue. The whole sunset, 80s hair metal, whatever you want to call that stuff. They are the biggest. They are the baddest. Their reputation, you know, all the stuff. They hit every. They were copied from the moment they started selling records by all the bands that they were touring with. You know what I mean? We typically think of influence as like, yeah, when I was 10, I listened to them, and now I'm in my 20s. You know, but they were influencing the people they were, you know, hanging out with. So. I like Motley Crue, and I think there's a sliver of a shot they get in. I think they might be the only one from that era, though.
Yeah, I think Motley Crue is definitely another one that should be in eventually. I'm not sure how long it'll take for a band like that to get in. You know, you have a lot of bands of that era that, you know, wrote a couple of good songs, had a couple of hits. But I think, you know, Motley Crue's longevity, you know, they were still selling out arenas on this quote-unquote farewell tour last, you know, what was it, retirement tour kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got the longevity, you've got the you know, loud amps in the face, you know, box checked. You've got the out there for you, too. So, I mean, you've got all the boxes checked, you know, 10 times over. And even through the, you know, the mid-90s when all of the hair metal was kind of going away, you know, they did the John Corabi album, which, you know, in retrospect is actually a pretty decent album.
Amazing.
But, you know, they somehow stayed relevant, you know, even if it's a sex tape that's going to keep you relevant. But, I mean, people were still talking about the... you know, Motley
Tommy's
Crue in
penis.
The mid to late 90s.
Tommy's penis is the reason that right. They were able to have the longevity they did. I fucking believe that. When he fucking slammed that thing on the boat horn, suddenly people remembered who Motley Crue was. And suddenly they were...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... Thank God for Tommy's dong. All right, well... that was a lot of fun talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why don't we, if you had just a minute, Josh, I know you spoke to a band that may be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 25 years, but I talked to him just last week, but I know Them Evils, you had a chance to meet with them at Louder Than Life, is that correct?
Yeah, they were hanging out at the, I had set up an interview with them, kind of delved into their couple of EPs they have out, mm-hmm. watched some live videos. Man, they were all over Louder Than Life. They did a night before Louder Than Life pre-party. They played another acoustic set at one point, just somewhere on the grounds. They opened up the third stage on the second day. I went up there with Mike from the Off Our Meds podcast and Eric from Off Our Meds. Hi, Mike and Eric. But we headed up there. We actually got up there early enough to where we saw their set. Great set. But they were hanging around the media tent, pretty much both days. And so, you know, basically by the end of the second day, we were fast friends with the Them Evils guys.
They're fun guys, man.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. It would be a lot of fun to after I did that interview with them, if you were to sit down and do like a good 30, 45 minutes actual podcast.
Oh, they're
going to
say 30, 35 bong hits.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, you know, they had a great sense of humor.
Hopefully these guys will be back, you know, kind of maybe doing another opening slot on a bigger tour or something. Or Northern Invasion lineup hasn't been announced maybe for that. But I would definitely like to sit and hang with them a little bit and kind of to vibe a little longer. But the interview you're about to hear is pretty fun. It's nothing... it's not the earth-shattering... sense of that with Bulbaflex where we break the news that Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park should be remade.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to hear this interview.
All right. And any final thoughts? How can we find out where Talk To Me is downloadable, streamable?
You can find Talk To Me on all of your fine podcast apps, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podcast Addict. Toomey is my last name. It's T-O-O-M-E-Y, so it's not like it's not a Kiss reference like I've had a
Talk
couple of people
to me.
Ask me. obviously, you know, finding all of your great podcast sites. Facebook's facebook.com/talktometalk. Twitter's at talktometalk. Always send me an email if you guys want to. talktometalk@gmail.com. Hopefully I'll hear from you guys soon.
Hello! How are you?
I'm well. Why don't you guys just really quick introduce who you are? This is Them Evils, but give us your names.
I'm David, and I play drums.
I'm Jake, and I play bass.
I'm Jordan, I play guitar and sing.
Do you guys have, like, an internal battle about being one musician and two non?
No, it doesn't work like that.
That was a joke. Just trying to break that. Yeah. I mean, it was a bad one, but...
We gotta go clean the toilets while
he gets there. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's one of... Oh, because he is a singer, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, double boy.
Whammy. Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these two motherfuckers, so it works always.
And Vegas, I got... You guys are from Las Vegas?
These two. Him and I are. Jordan okay. and I. We grew up there, and we're playing in a band and in, like, the Vegas music scene, so we just moved to California, and then that's where we met him.
Is there much of a music scene in Vegas? That's what I was kind of curious about.
Not really. It's a very trendy place as far as...
Well, it's very touristy, but...
It's touristy. I mean, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of musicians out there, but it's like... No one's really doing rock and roll or anything that really piques our interest, you know, so...
It's a lot of... I don't want to insult anyone, but butt-rocky kind of music.
Butt-rocky and...
It's the home of the bros.
And there's a lot of electronic music, too, so...
I've only been there as a tourist, so you're on the strip around Fremont. You know, I was curious if there was places worth checking out for music. Doesn't sound like it too much.
Well, the Griffin Backstage Bar and Billiards is cool. Vamped is cool. They got a little.
There's a lot of cool venues. Shows. It's just as far as bands go, there's kind of a limited amount of groups.
American Monsters great.
Yeah,
they're from there.
Yeah, they're good buddies.
Right on.
That's about it, though. Yeah.
Well, how did the name Them Evils come out? That was.
So my mom was driving through the city, Temecula.
It's always good if it starts with my mom.
Yeah, right.
My mom. And she was texting the word Temecula, and she obviously spelt it wrong, and then Siri auto-corrected it to Them Evils. So she texted me, and she's like, hey, I got a good band name for you, Them Evils. And then she told me the story. And then
It makes it better. Temecula?
Temecula.
Turned out how she spelled California.
Who texts that for any? What was she texting? I don't even know what it is.
I have no fucking
idea. It's a city in California.
Oh, yeah, all right. Like, so you're like,
she's passing through. So
fair enough. That's
thanks,
pretty
Temecula.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Temecula.
Thanks,
So you got two EPs out. Is that kind of just to get things growing, or is that more of because that's the way things are kind of going now? We're seeing because you are seeing a lot more bands release EPs than full length albums. Is there a full length coming soon, or?
I mean, eventually, yeah. I mean, for us, we're doing everything on our own right now. We're not backed by a label or anything. So, like, financially, it's a lot easier to release 4 songs than 10 songs, you know?
And sure.
We'd much rather do a full length, but for where we are right now, I feel like it's been smarter to just release a little batch of songs, milk that as much as we can, then when people start wanting more, we'll, you know, release another batch of songs. At least to keep momentum going until we're able to push a full length. Which we would love to do is, so we're going to record right after this tour, and basically
this one with Pretty Reckless.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So as soon as we get back, we're going to start writing and recording, and if it's a EP, it's an EP. If it's a full length, it's a full length. So we'll kind of just see what we come up with.
Or if they're demo tapes, they're demo tapes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I cracked out on I think it's the newest EP quite a bit the last 2 days and kind of prepped for this.
The self-titled.
The first song, you can't get me on the titles yet.
Untold.
Probably not intentional. By the way, I love the song. This isn't, in case this goes, I communicate this poorly. It's very much a perfect Kharkov vodka commercial. You know those ones where the guys are getting soaking wet in like tuxedos. And
yeah,
it's just the riff is like super, just like
it has that tonal quality.
Yeah, I could see
it,
or I could hear it in like a Sons of Anarchy or like a fucking Cadillac or a Dodge.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't turn down an offer like that, right?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, so
$1 million.
I have a list of life missions, so I'll add that to it to get you guys a commercial for that song. So. If I accomplish any of it, I'll accomplish one thing. you know, one of the things I like to talk about is the revenue from streaming seems to kind of, I don't know, from my perspective and everything I've heard, it's bullshit.
It's non-existing.
We have to find a way to get more of the, because you got the labels and the Spotify and all those. They're both basically calling the other one a liar. We pay you a bunch of money, and they're saying, no, we give our chunk to the artists. And, but the artists are the only ones that are consistent that we're not getting shit, you know?
We haven't seen a Spotify check, so...
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I mean, it's... Even big bands like Circus Survive, like, they posted a picture on Facebook, like, thanks, Spotify, it was a check for, like, $1.62.
Being indie, too, like, doing it on your own, you would get a bigger percentage than, like... You know, an established artist.
Yeah.
But it would still be peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how you cash in a Spotify check. Do you guys know who Desmond Child is? This is my favorite Spotify story. He was in the 80s a huge co-writer, songwriter. He worked with Bon Jovi and helped Aerosmith resurrect. Helped Cher. I mean, he just, his list of like number one, I mean, songs that he's co-written is, I mean, his own royalty check every month has just got to be enormous.
Yeah.
But he was saying that 1 month of streaming of, I don't know, pick any Bon Jovi big one, you know, that
one
he co-wrote.
Alive.
Yeah, there you go. Blades like six million streams. Him and he had to split three ways, $120 with the two guys from Bon Jovi that he co-wrote it with.
Really?
That's
horrible.
So $6 million, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But so yeah, but the point being is that, you know, a band, especially in your position, it could be very beneficial, especially as you go out on a tour like this, you're getting some exposure to a crowd that hasn't seen you, and if they could go out and hit Spotify, and that would, you know, even result in like radio play payoffs, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
My favorite, it's unrelated, but my favorite Spotify story, I can't remember the name of the band, I told you about this. There's this band who, they were like an unsigned band, but they had a big following, and they put an album on Spotify that was complete silence. So it was 10 tracks of just silence, and they put, like, posted something like, hey, everyone stream this overnight, put it on loop, and they got up to like a couple million plays on it and got checks from Spotify. Just pulled a fast one on Spotify from streaming nothing. Spotify, like, they got a couple $1,000s.
Wow.
And they just took, Spotify, like, took it down and, like, tried to retract their money or something. And I thought that was hilarious.
That's great.
It's like an artist pulling a fast one on Spotify and then the other way around.
It takes someone like, I don't know, fucking Taylor Swift to get their attention, it seems like.
Yeah, totally.
But even that, it really didn't change anything, so. Well, we talked about the next record. Have you started writing any music for it or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always writing riffs. I'm always writing lyrics when I'm driving and shit. Every time I'm done driving, I fucking go in the back, take a shit, and fucking write lyrics on a notepad. So when we get home, we're just going to piece it all together and make an album and write some more shit.
And yeah, is it, does it generally start with you and then you kind of work together, or do you have no real process?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, I mean, this guy shits guitar riffs, like...
Yeah, that's why you gotta clean the bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah, he usually like comes to it.
Yeah, I know, but... you're like, you know too much about band dynamics.
But yeah, that's usually how it works. He'll come with a riff, and then we'll all help with the arrangement, and he'll kind of contribute to the vocals and stuff.
The,
lyrics.
Power Trio is kind of making a little bit of a surge.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like live? I've only listened to your record, so I'll find out tonight, and I'll judge and I'll tell you what I think. But do you ever find like, God, a second guitar might help a little bit, or?
Sometimes. I mean, because
for him, I feel like singing and playing certain things, it does
yeah.
kind of limit what we can have over a verse of a song. You know, because
you
like,
can only sing so much and play so much at
mm-hmm.
the same time. You know.
Right.
So.
But I mean, at the same time, it's so much easier dealing with just three of us.
Yeah. There is a
battle.
That's a pretty valid
yeah.
point. Every time
I mean,
you add a piece, it's one more to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we're always we've always talked about being open to the idea of a second guitar player. Sorry, but we just don't want to settle. You know, if the right person comes along and it fits and it doesn't feel forced, then we're open to it.
If they're better looking than me, can play better than me, then we'll take them.
That really thins the herd. Yeah.
That's when I'll settle. Actually, I won't settle.
That wouldn't be settling.
Yeah, I wouldn't be settling. That's what I'll choose. Or we'll choose.
You ever, I'm not sure if it's there, Ed Roman Guitars?
Yeah, yeah, it's not there anymore.
Yeah?
They closed it down.
After he died?
Yeah. Well, so
wait,
they had...
he died?
Yeah, he died like 5 years ago.
Ed Roman died?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Did you go... Have you been there?
Uh-huh.
When they had the giant one? Or was it a smaller
one? It was a smaller one across the freeway.
Yeah, so they had... That smaller one, I actually bought two of my basses there, but they had one that was like four times the size of that before that, like right up the street, and then they moved down to that smaller one, I think, after he died, maybe? Or?
Okay. I was there before he passed, but...
Oh, okay.
You need to go to Cowtown.
Cowtown?
Edmonds is okay, but Cowtown's where all the good vintage gear
Yeah, Cowtown is like the best shop in Vegas.
I actually bought three guitars from Ed. Without ever going out to Vegas. Just, you know, like, over the phone.
Yeah.
Like, God, I'm really dating myself here a little bit. That's just like in late 90s.
I bought my Jackson from there. It was, like, because it was a super 80s looking bass, and I loved it.
Right on. We're talking gear about Roman.
Yeah.
I never met the guy. I heard he was kind of an asshole. No disrespect.
Yeah. I talked to him twice, and he was fair as far as business, but he came from the East Coast, like Jersey or something like that, but he had to be connected.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. He didn't send my guitars in the cases they were supposed to, and they showed up 2 days later after I called. So
they did that's a lot of awesome. Good work in Vegas with the local music and all that. So
I remember the guy who sold me my bass there used to be in that band Great White.
Oh, which bass player? God, whatever. We're getting way off topic here. Probably.
What's up, dude?
He's like, oh no.
What's Ben?
Vegas and California then is the separation?
Yeah.
So you all must be huge hockey fans.
Now? Yeah.
I just saw that they announced the name today.
Golden Knights.
Yeah, Golden Knights.
So lame.
Yeah.
We're the Silver State. Why are they gold?
Oh, I didn't know you were the Silver State.
Good point.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
I mean,
it's cool. It's cool. Like, I grew up there my whole life, so now they get a sports team when I leave. It's a cool spot. I'm stoked to check it out.
And you're saying this is your first time in Minnesota?
Yeah.
All things considered, the weather's not bad right now.
It's not bad.
No.
What's up, baby?
Perfect height for me to fuck with you guys.
I know.
Me and Tori leave this open all the time.
Well, before I hit on a couple nonsense items at the end, what does the world need to know about them evils?
Shit.
We're here to have fun.
Yeah, we're balls out rock and roll, and we're trying to do what our heroes did, you know?
Yeah.
We're trying to live the lifestyle. We're doing it.
And yeah.
We're not,
We want people to...
Fucking around.
Come out and have as good a time as we're having every night.
You're easy to find just through a quick Google search.
Themevils.com. It's a nice place to find everything. Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram. Now I keep thinking he's, like, looking at me right there.
Hey, buddy. All right, well, wrap up with a couple things. Like I said, the nonsense items. Have you heard any updates on Kanye? Is he doing okay?
I heard he was in like 5150 some shit like that.
No updates beyond that. I've got a Kanye fetish, and I just assume everybody wants to know.
I mean, I enjoy Kanye's music.
Really?
These guys don't.
I hate him.
I like his older music. Material. Yeah.
Graduation's
before
great
it all got to his head.
You're such a hipster.
Huh?
Just kidding.
If I was hipster,
older,
yeah. Well, his first three albums were great, and then I didn't really pay attention much after.
You hear a lot of that in your music too, by the way.
Kanye,
yeah.
I can tell. He's a big influence.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe like
those guitar riffs.
So maybe tonight, say some nice things. And be like, hey, let's all say a prayer for God. I'm sure it'll go over fucking great.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.